from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to our English program over at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will bring you first our news, followed by My Indonesia, Today in History, Highlight of the Week, News in Brief, Indonesian Wonder, Miss Lady, and Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today over at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Vice President Yusuf Kala joins peaceful rally for Palestine. IMF spokesperson extends condolence to victims of the recent attacks in Indonesia. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Donald Pani. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kala joined a peaceful rally for Palestine at Yeni Kafi Field in Istanbul, Turkey, ahead of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation OIC summit on Friday, May 18. Besides Kala, the rally was also participated in by the delegates of OIC summit participating countries and the people of Turkey, according to a press statement received by Antara News Agency on Saturday, May 16. Vice Presidential Spokesman Hussein Abdullah remarked at the scene that Vice President Kala joined the rally on the invitation of President Erdogan as the host. He said Kala's presence in the rally was part of Indonesia's struggle for Palestine. During the peaceful rally, Kala and the OIC summit delegations urged the United Nations to take decisive steps over the removal of the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. In addition, they also urged the United Nations to investigate the death of a number of Palestinians during a rally in the Gaza Strip when it refused to remove the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. The express train of Minangkabau Airport has started to be operational and will be inaugurated by President Joko Widodo on Monday, May 21st. They were started by West Sumatra Governor Irwan Prayitno in Padang, West Sumatra on Friday evening. The train has been operational since May 1st. The authority gave an opportunity for the local people to board the train for free in 3 days. The Indonesian Railway Company has set the fare of the airport train at 5,000 rupiahs and 10,000 rupiahs depending on the mileage. The public can board on the train from 4 stations including Padang, Tabing, Duku, and Minangkabau Airport. President Joko Widodo plans to visit West Sumatra Province in 2 days. He plans to witness the distribution of land certificates and check the infrastructure construction progress and inaugurate the operation. Spokesman of the International Monetary Fund, IMF, Gary Rice, extended condolences to victims of terrorist attacks in Indonesia. Gary Rice made the remarks during IMF regular press briefing in Washington, D.C. on Saturday, May 16. He said that IMF extends its deepest sympathy and condolences to the families of the victims who died under these terrible terrorist attacks in Indonesia. He also said that the International Monetary Fund is monitoring developments, working closely with its Indonesian partners to ensure the safety of all participants attending the 2018 annual meeting in Bali next October. He looks forward to having a successful meeting, and the Indonesian authorities are making extraordinary efforts to make sure that is the case. Gary Rice added, "The cooperation with Indonesia is excellent, and IMF is confident that it will have a successful annual meeting in October." A member of Law Commission at the House of Representatives, DPR, Arteria Dahlan, said some of the terrorist convicts transferred from Salemba Prison in Makobrimob to Nusa Kambangan Correction Center were not accommodated at the special terrorist prison. Arteria said on Saturday, May 19, in Jakarta, that 155 prisoners were moved and only 88 were accommodated. The rest was placed in Nusa Kambangan, but in the general prison, which has no maximum security. He added it would endanger the general convicts as they could possibly be influenced by radical ideologies. Based on the condition, the House Law Commission is seeking to build a new prison for the terrorism convicts in Nusa Kambangan. Later, the maximum security prison will also be built in Cikeas, West Java. Arteria said the House Commission 1 has also asked all social media providers to make arrangements to minimize the possible terror acts after the riots occurred in Makobrimob that killed one terrorist convict and five police officers. 155 terrorist prisoners were relocated from Makobrimob to Nusa Kambangan. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Head of Public Relations Office Java Police, Commissioner Frans Barung Mangera, has confirmed on Saturday, May 19, that Giri Chatur Sungkowo, a victim of the suicide bombing at the church on Jalan Arjuna, Surabaya, passed away on Friday night, May 18. He died after undergoing treatment for several days at Sutomo Hospital. Giri was a security officer at the church. The death of Giri adds to the list of casualties due to suicide bombings in three churches in Surabaya and Surabaya Police Headquarters. To date, the police recorded 14 dead victims from the residence. Counter-terrorism squad Densus 88 arrested two residents of Rokan Hilir, Riau Province, who were suspected to be involved in terrorist networks. The arrest was conducted by a joint force with the Riau Regional Police and Rokan Hilir Police. Rokan Hilir Police Chief Ajun Senior Commissioner Sigit Adi Wuryanto said the police arrested HS alias Abu Yusuf and AH in different locations. HS was arrested at his home in Village 5 Bangunjaya, Rokan Hilir, Riau, while AH was arrested in Palm Farmer that owned by his parents in Sungai Labu village, Rokan Hilir. Sigit said on Sunday that the police only assisted the arrest. The investigation was conducted by Densus 88. According to Sigit, Densus 88 team, together with Rokan Hilir police, are still working for further involvement of other parties. The joint team continued to comb the terrorist network following the attack on Riau Police Headquarters on Wednesday, May 16. The International Monetary Fund and World Bank delegates will converge on Bali in October for their annual meetings, are slated to visit Garuda Wisnu Kencana Cultural Park as part of their itinerary. The sprawling 60-hectare Garuda Wisnu Kencana Cultural Park in Ungasan Village, Kuta, is home to the tallest statue in Indonesia at a height of 75 meters and breadth of 65 meters, with its construction beginning in 1997. The Garuda Wisnu Kencana statue was inspired by the Hindu myth that Garuda permitted Lord Wisnu to ride him in return for the elixir of life which he would use to liberate his enslaved mother. Indonesian master sculptor Nyoman Nuarta, the creator of the statue, confirmed the news. Nyoman recently said that he can wrap up construction by August with the delegation's arrival. This is part of Indonesia's promotion to the world. Garuda Wisnu Kencana Park commercial director Arifin stated that according to the planned itinerary, a dinner would be held for all delegates at Garuda Wisnu Kencana's Festival Park. Arifin said guests can see the statue directly from the spot. The park is a vast field surrounded by limestone cliffs and can also be used for public concerts and cultural performances. Well, listener, that was the news. Hey, now.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with daily segment My Indonesia, which today is on Coordinating Minister for Human and Cultural Development holds Asian Games Security Coordination Meeting. Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture Puan Maharani held a coordination meeting in preparation for the security of hosting the Asian Games the 18, 2018 at her office in Jakarta on Thursday. Puan Maharani asserted the security of the Asian Games starting August the 18th next will involve police and military personnel to achieve maximum security. Therefore, it needs synergies from all stakeholders to make the Asian Games a success, especially in the security issue, which is a serious concern of the government. This factor will be the government's focus for the event to run smoothly and safely. The coordination meeting on the preparation for safeguarding the Asian Games was also attended by the National Agency for Combating Terrorism and related ministries and agencies. According to Suhardi, in a meeting that lasted for approximately 2 hours, they discussed in great detail matters related to the security of the Asian Games, which will be held in 3 months. Meanwhile, the National Agency for Combating Terrorism will all out in securing the 2018 Asian Games from possible terrorist disturbance. In a press release in Jakarta on Thursday, the agency chief police commissioner General Suhardi Alius wanted the Asian Games in Indonesia to be zero attack, zero accident, as South Korea had done in the 2014 Asian Games in Incheon and the Winter Olympics 2018 in Pyeongchang. For that, the security will be made very tight, so there is no chance for those who want to disrupt the biggest sports event in Asia. According to Suhardi Alius, an international event such as the Asian Games has the potential to become a terrorist target, so that anticipatory steps, awareness, and synergy of various parties need to be done. He reminded the 2018 World Cup in Asia has also been threatened by militant groups, especially ISIS. This fact must be an understanding to be well anticipated. Therefore, the security issue must be really strengthened without any loopholes. Well, that was my Indonesia today.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll start with May 20th, 1908. The first National Awakening Day of Indonesia every May 20th. The Indonesian people commemorate National Awakening Day, the day that became the momentum of the struggle of all Indonesian people, was marked by the birth of Budi Utomo organization in 1908. The establishment of Budi Utomo was the beginning of a movement aimed at achieving the independence of Indonesia. Judging from the history of the establishment of Budi Utomo, founded by educated young people, it is fitting for the people of Indonesia to have the same spirit for the resurrection of Indonesia to progress, live along with the development of science and technology. Next is from 20 May 2002, Timor-Leste becomes independent from Indonesia. The Democratic Republic of East Timor, which before independence was named East Timor, is a small country to the north of Australia and the eastern part of the Indonesian island of Timor. In addition, the country's territory also includes Kambing or Atauro Island, Jeko, and the Okasi Ambeno enclave in West Timor. East Timor was once one of Indonesia's provinces. It was officially independent on May 20, 2002. When it became a member of the United Nations, the country decided to use the Portuguese name Timor-Leste as the official name of their country. I'll end today in history with May 20, 2008. Ali Sadikin dies. Ali Sadikin, the former Jakarta governor, also known as Bang Ali, died at the age of 82 years on Tuesday, May 20, 2008. Ali Sadikin is well known for developing the city of Jakarta. He received the honor of Bintang Mahaputra Adi Pradana because he was considered meritorious to the country and the nation, especially for turning Jakarta into a metropolitan city. President Sukarno appointed him governor of Jakarta in the 60s because he was considered as stubborn. He succeeded as a leader and in developing the city of Jakarta precisely because of his harsh nature. That was today in the history of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Putri Savitri Ardila. Thank you for listening.
Highlight of the week presents Issues of the Week.
Hello there, welcome back to this week's spotlight, which today is on President approves Joint Special Operation Command. Terrorist attacks have not stopped since the riot occurred at the Salemba Detention Center of Brimob Corps Headquarters, Kelapa II, Depok, 2 weeks ago. Facing this, head of the Office of Presidential Staff, Muldoko, stated that President Joko Widodo has approved to revive the Joint Operation Command. With the enlargement of the special military force, the apparatus involved in overcoming terrorism include not only the police through Densus 88, but also the military with the Joint Special Operation Command. Muldoko asserted that the capability of the combined Special Operation Command forces has also been well prepared to be assigned to various regions in Indonesia. Furthermore, the Chief of Police and Commander of Military will further discuss the tasks of Special Forces. The Joint Special Operation Command was formed while Muldoko was serving as the military commander and was inaugurated in June 2015. The elite force is the best combination of personnel from the military special forces to eradicate terrorism. It consisted of 90 specially trained soldiers in handling terrorism, and the special unit was frozen some time ago. According to Muldoko, to reactivate the special force does not require a legal umbrella. He said the joint operation needs to be run as a preventive measure against the threat of terrorism attacks and create peace of mind. He hopes the Joint Special Operation Command can be kept alive to combat terrorism and other war operations in different regions. The reinstatement of the Joint Special Operation Command is expected to provide optimal strength for securing the country. Related to the plan, Head of Public Relations Division of the Police, Inspector General Setio Wasisto, said the police have coordinated with several other institutions in counterterrorism action, among others with the military, Kopassus Special Forces Command. In searching or raiding activities, according to Setio, Brimob Corps has often cooperated with Kopassus, similarly in handling the security of vital objects. In many terrorist arrest operations, the military have also been frequently involved. Setio Wasisto asserted the police did not question the involvement of the military in counterterrorism action. The most common example is the Operation Tinombala in Poso, Central Sulawesi. In counterterrorism operation in eastern Indonesia, the military participated in the field. Well, that was this week's spotlight.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kala joined a peaceful rally for Palestine at the Anikapi Field in Istanbul, Turkey, ahead of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation (OIC) summit on Friday. Besides Kala, the rally was also participated in by the delegates of the OIC summit participating countries and the people of Turkey, according to a press statement received by Antara News Agency on Saturday. The express train of Minangkabau Airport has started to be operational and will be inaugurated by President Joko Widodo on Monday, May 21st. They were started by West Sumatra Governor Irwan Parayitno in Padang, West Sumatra on Friday evening. The train has been operational since May 1st. The authority gave an opportunity for the local people to board on the train for free in 3 days. Spokesman of the International Monetary Fund, IMF, Gary Rice, extended condolences to victims of terrorist attacks in Indonesia. Gary Rice made the remark during IMF regular press briefing in Washington, D.C. on Saturday. He said that IMF extended its deepest sympathy and condolences to the families of the victims who died under these terrible terrorist attacks in Indonesia. A member of Law Commission at the House of Representatives, Arteria Dahlan, said some of the terrorist convicts transferred from Salemba Prison in Makobrimob to Nusa Kambangan Correction Center were not accommodated at the special terrorist prison. Arteria said that 155 prisoners were moved and only 88 were accommodated. The rest was placed in Nusa Kambangan, but in general prison, which has no maximum security. Head of Public Relations of East Java Police Commissioner Frans Barung Mangera has confirmed on Saturday that Giri Chatur Sungkowo, a victim of the suicide bombing at the church on Jalan Arjuna, Surabaya, East Java, passed away on Friday night. He died after undergoing treatment for several days at Sutomo Hospital. Counter-terrorism squad Densus 88 arrested 2 residents of Rokan Hilir, Riau, who were suspected to be involved in terrorist networks. The arrest was conducted by a joint force with Riau Regional Police and Rokan Hilir Police. Rokan Hilir Police Chief Adjutant Senior Commissioner Sigit Ardi Wuryanto said the police arrested HS alias Abu Yusuf and AS in different locations. HS was arrested at his home in village Bangun Jaya, Rokan Hilir, Riau. The International Monetary Fund and World Bank delegates that will converge on Bali in October for their annual meetings are slated to visit Garuda Wisnu Kencana Cultural Park as part of their itinerary. The sprawling 60-hectare Garuda Wisnu Kencana Cultural Park in Ungasan Village, Kuta, is home to the tallest statue in Indonesia at the height of 75 meters and breadth of 65 meters. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz, you can also listen to audio streaming www.voi.co.id. Listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder. Today, I will invite you to admire the beauty of one of the beaches located in Lombok, namely Tanjung Aan Beach. In addition to shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voinews.id. Lombok Island is famous for its amazing beach, especially in the southern region like Tanjung Aan. One thing that distinguishes Tanjung Aan Beach from other beaches in Lombok is the shape of the sand grain, which is round like pepper. Tanjung Aan Beach is perfect for snorkeling and swimming because the waves at the beach is quite calm with a relatively shallow water. Tanjung Aan Beach is surrounded by several hills. You can easily reach them to see the beautiful view of Tanjung Aan Beach from above. From the vicinity of the beach, you will see some wooden shelters shaped like umbrellas with knitted straw as the roof. And one way to enjoy Tanjung Aan Beach is by lying under the umbrella while drinking the young coconut sold on this beach. And if you are hungry, you can choose a restaurant that provides a variety of dishes from other regions and also local cuisine menus. Tanjung Aan Beach is located about 75 kilometers from Mataram. From the city by car, the travel time is approximately 1.5 hours. In addition to private vehicles, it is advisable to rent a motorbike or car from the city of Mataram because public transport facilities take longer time and relatively more troublesome. When you visit Tanjung Aan Beach, there are some preparations that must be considered. Because it is very hot, make sure to also bring sunglasses, head cover like a hat, and don't forget to put some sunscreen. Also, of course, don't forget to bring a change of clothes if you plan to do activities in the water. It is also advisable to wear comfortable footwear or shoes so you will not be bothered if you climb the hill on this Tanjung Aan Beach. And most importantly, don't forget to bring a camera to capture the beauty of Tanjung Aan Beach. You don't have to worry if you forget to bring snorkeling equipment because here you can easily find some rental store for snorkeling. And the right time for snorkeling is late afternoon because at that time the sea level will begin to rise and make Tanjung Aan Beach the perfect place to surf. Well, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder featuring Tanjung Aan Beach in Lombok. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Thank you for still being with us in Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia or to our email address english@voi.co.id or to voi.english@gmail.com. Listener now, let's listen to Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment which presents various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, custom and tradition, environment and technology, even lifestyle. This edition will be on National Awakening Day 2018. Stay tuned in to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at 9525 kHz or www.voinews.id. May the 20th in Indonesia is celebrated as the National Awakening Day, which is the date of the founding of Budi Utomo movement in Yogyakarta in 1908. The commemoration of National Awakening Day was first held on May the 20th, 1948 in Yogyakarta and in other areas in Indonesia. Ministry of Communication and Informatics held a series of activities on the National Awakening Day 2018 at Jalan Sudirman, Yogyakarta on Sunday, May 13, themed Human Resource Development Strengthening National Awakening Day Foundation in the Digital Age. expert staff to the Minister of Communication and Media Communication, Minister Gun Gun Siswadi said that through this activity, his office wants to increase human resources capacity, especially for the young generation. This activity also aims to raise awareness of the younger generation as the largest digital user in Indonesia to rise and utilize the technology as well as possible. Gun Gun Siswadi added, the inability to take advantage of technological progress is certainly a disadvantage. On the occasion, several activities were organized, from the Human Resource Development Campaign to strengthening National Awakening Foundation in the digital age, such as Fun Walk, Mass Aerobics, and others. Meanwhile, the Minister of Communication and Information Technology, Rudiantara, invites the community to interpret the National Awakening Day this time with the movement against hoax and negative contents, as well as using domestically made applications. The minister said in a series of car-free day activities for the commemoration of the 110th National Awakening Day at Sarinah Parking Square, Jakarta on Sunday, he invited the community to reduce negative contents in social media. Also advised not to load pictures and photos that are not visible for social media, especially children. According to Rudiantara, if necessary, the public can file a direct complaint to the social media providers that disseminate such inappropriate content. It is done for the better Indonesia. The minister appealed to people to use the application made by the nation. The use of national application made by the nation will make the application develop. The peak of 110th anniversary of the National Awakening Day will be held on May the 21st. In addition to flag ceremonies, there are also a number of activities including seminar and interactive dialogue, a visit to Heroes Cemetery, speech contests, and many others. The 2018 National Awakening Day War Commemoration Series is held simultaneously in three cities, namely Jakarta, Yogyakarta, and Surabaya. That was Miscellany Today on National Awakening Day 2018.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now, let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Edward Kusalik in Canada. In his email, Mr. Edward Kusalik complained because his reception report to VOI, especially to the German section, dated December 14, 2017, where he was listening to true frequency of 9521 kHz at 1800 hours to 1833 hours UTC, has never been replied. Hello, Mr. Edward Kusalik, we are really sorry for your inconvenience. It is because we received so many emails and letters from our regular listeners throughout the world. But you do not have to worry because your email has been forwarded to the German section. Please wait for the reply. As information for you and other listeners, since January 1st, 2018, Voice of Indonesia has broadcasted on voinews.id. And if you want to send your email, you can send it to voi@voinews.id. We change our website's address is for listener satisfaction. Thank you. Well, Mr. Edward Kusalik, please keep listening to our broadcast and sending your report. Special for you, Mr. Edward Kusalik, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song. Listener, now we will replay an email from Mr. Baikan Hazarika in India. He was listening to our broadcast in English program on April 13, 2018 at 13:25 UTC. At that time, he listened to one of our segments, Indonesian Wonder, which presented Dongkal Cake, a traditional cake from Betawi. Hello, Mr. Baikan Hazarika. Thank you very much for your attention on our broadcast. Indonesia has so many kinds of traditional foods. Through our broadcast, we try to introduce Indonesian traditional foods so our listeners can know them well. And if someday our listeners visit Indonesia, hopefully you have known what kinds of food to be tasted. Special for you and our other regular listeners, will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song. To listeners' mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to reply a letter from Dildar Ahmed Lagari in Pakistan. Hello, Mr. Dildar Ahmed Lagari. Thank you very much for your compliment on our country. Indonesian people are majority Muslims. Because of that, there are many designers of Muslim fashion. One of them is Dian Pelangi, who is well known not only in Indonesia but also abroad. And we have also shopping centers with special sell Muslim fashion, namely Tanah Abang Market.
Tanah Abang Market is located at the Kelurahan Kebon Kacang. The market has been known to exist since 1735. Tanah Abang Market is the main textile trade in Indonesia and the biggest in Southeast Asia. Other market areas, Block A and Block B, were added to the area in 2005 and 2010. Block A is the biggest among others with 160,000 square meter with almost 8,000 kiosks. It's visited about 80,000 buyers in busy days with transaction about 500 billion rupiah or $43 million per day and has well known in Africa and Middle East. Well, Mr. Dildar Ahmed Lagari, hopefully our information can be useful for you. So, please keep listening to our broadcast and sending your report. For you, we'll play a beautiful song.
Kekasihku, sayangku, ku ingin kau tahu, hati ini kan selalu menantikan cintamu. Kaulah yang pertama yang memberi arti cinta untuk selamanya tetap di hatiku.
Listener, before we end our listener's mailbag, we want to reply an email from Kazuhiro Takao in Japan. He sent his email through voi@voinews.id and listened to our broadcast in Japanese program through frequency of 9525 kHz on October 9, 2016 at 1200 hours to 1300 hours UTC with SIMPO to 4222 and 23222. Hello, Mr. Kazuhiro Takao. Thank you for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. We are really sorry for the poor signal and interference on our broadcast. We hope that you can still enjoy our broadcast despite severe noise and fading. Mr. Kazuhiro Takao, we are really sorry because our transmitter is being maintained. You can only monitor our radio through our website voinews.id. voinews.id. As your request, we will send our KSL card to your home immediately. Please keep monitoring and sending your reception report of our broadcast. Thank you. Well, listener, actually we have received many emails, but unfortunately we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5, Jakarta, 10110, Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5, Jakarta, 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. Once again, voi@voinews.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan page on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia. Or follow our Twitter at @voiindonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Putri Savitri Ardela. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
ku temukan damai membaca sabdamu. Tuhan ku memohon, Tuhan ku memohon, pancarkan cahaya di hidupku Tuhan. Ku percaya Engkau pasti telah merencanakan yang terbaik untuk diriku, agar ku tak jatuh dan selalu ada di jalan-Mu. Tak perlu ku lihat tanpa ku mendengar, dapat ku rasakan, selalu ku rasakan betapa besarnya kuasa-Mu Tuhan. Ku percaya Engkau pasti telah merencanakan yang terbaik.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.